T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sean, you know, we were ready for Hugh Jackson to be moved out of town, honestly. We thought it was time for him to go at the end of last year. He got another chance. They got rid of Todd Haley as well. What was your reaction to the firings of both Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley?
Well, I'm one of those guys that doesn't like to ever see coaches fired, but it's the business, and everyone that's been in it has. But you also, it was time. And, you know, with the Todd, I was actually – I didn't think both were going to go. I didn't know, you know, how that was, that they were that tied at the hip together. But I guess they felt that the production wasn't right and moving on. But you know, you go back to John Dorsey is going to eventually get the right guy. He gets the right players, I'm telling you. He's a track record of doing it. And now they can start the search and deal with the interim process. And I love Greg Williams. I've known Greg a long time. He ain't going to take any crap. I can promise you that. There will be nothing soft about him. And they will respond or they won't play. And you heard your clip beforehand talking about it's about the players on game day, and it is, because they're the ones who've got to win. So, you know, I know that there's a lot going on in Cleveland, but I honestly think this is the beginning of something. Getting the quarterback was – getting John Dorsey was a start. Getting the quarterback was next. And as much as, you know, players may like a guy or not like a guy and you're trying to move forward, if you know you're going to do it then take care of it now. Let's see. Let's build off this. Let's do some different things offensively and defensively in the next couple weeks for the second half of the season. Experiment. What we do well, what we don't. Which one of you guys are buying in? Because right now, if I'm an evaluator, John Dorsey in the front office and ownership, I'm evaluating. I evaluate harder when we're 2-12 than I do when we're 12-2. Why? Because it's easy to quit. It's easy to stop playing. It's easy to say, well, we'll wait until next year. And those are the guys I don't want on my team. I just don't. I don't want a coach. I don't want a player that thinks, well, we'll I'll get back in 2019. Screw that. If you're 1-14 or 0-15, you play. And you play hard because it's your job. That's what you do. So they'll be able to evaluate and hopefully disrupt the playoff picture. But I think it had to happen. It was time. They need a whole new slate. And I think it's going to happen in the offseason. When I say whole new slate, there may be some holdover coaches. But it was time for Cleveland and rally around it. Rally around Greg. Rally around what they're doing. And let's see what happens the second half of the season. And then get the guy you want. And if it takes overpaying for him, then overpay for him. Leave no doubt who you're going after and go get him.
Sean, what would be the first thing you did if you're Greg Williams in terms of, like, you've got a few days of practice here before you face one of the top teams, top offenses in the entire NFL. Like, what is the number one thing you would do if you're Greg Williams to sort of put your stamp on things and try to change things up?
I think with Greg's presence having been there, I think that the number one thing is instill that we may get beat, but they're going to get there, and you don't approach that. But I'm talking about in your own heart. If we're going to get beat, we're going down bloody in people's nose, because you don't win football games. Everybody can talk about all the finesse we're doing in the NFL of throwing the ball around, and we do. You've got to have finesse, and you've got to have speed, and you've got to have playmakers. But you ain't changing that at the beginning of the year. You're not all of a sudden going to wake up and Antonio Brown and Julio Jones are your wide receivers, or – it's just at this point in time, we're past the trade deadline. You've got to live with what you got. But we're going to play physical, and we're going to play through the whistle, and we're going to knock the hell out of people, and we're going to go down swinging, or we're going to stand tall swinging. Number two is I'm going to get back, guys, to very simple stuff. When all else goes to hell in a handbasket, or when you're struggling and can't close or struggling when on the road, alignment, it's going to sound so cheesy and elementary, but get aligned right and know your assignment. Good things will happen after that. They've got some players, man. They do. The cupboard's not bare in Cleveland. So I go back. It's not a matter at this stage of the game saying we're going to do 400 different things. See, the team you're about to play, they don't. What you think, though, when you're watching it as a Browns fan or media or people on the outside, you think that they're running 400 plays on offense. I'm just speaking for their offense now. You want to know what they're doing? They're doing what the Cowboys and 49ers used to do under Jimmy Johnson and North Turner and under – Bill Walsh and that group and Mariucci and Montana and Aikman. They're formationing you and motioning you and creating deception, but they're running about 12 to 15 pass plays and about 5 to 6 runs. But to you, it's a different guy doing it every time because we're formationing you. I would, and I don't want to say simplify. That overdoes it. I want you, let's operate what we do, and if it means we do it 25 times a game, then that's what we do. I would make sure people were aligned right. If you're not, if you're aligned right, you got a chance in the NFL.
Dustin was suggesting the same thing, so you guys like, are on the same page.
I don't care if you do all you run is inside zone. Run inside zone 30 times a game.
Just get good at
just get it good at something.
Yeah, and don't you guys exactly what's the old saying? The jack of all trades or the master of none. I would rather be able to do 15 things really, really good. That's what these great guys that are doing. The Mike Lee, even in college, the Leeches and the Lincoln Rileys, all these guys. They're creating a point to you on the defensive side. It's like, whoa, they're using up your practice time because they're doing something. Yeah, it doesn't take – listen, it is about the players. And no matter what, I can tell you this. You can have the greatest scheme in the world, but if you don't have players that believe in it, you got no shot. Now, I can opposite. That's right. I can have an average scheme, but if I got players that believe it's going to – a curl-flat combination is going to work, it'll work. That doesn't mean you oversimplify the point where that a seventh-grade defense can read what you're doing or vice versa, an offense against your defense against their offense or the other way around. But it comes down to being able to execute what you do and do well. And you're right. I've never understood. When I was at SC and Marcus Allen was our tailback, we'd run student body right, which everybody calls it, 28 pitch, eight times in a row, 5 yards, 8 yards, 9 yards, 12 yards. We didn't have to change much. Bruce Matthews, Don Mosbar, Roy Foster. Hell, why would we? Okay, so I get back, let's go in, and I went back to Greg Williams. I'd sit down with my core leadership and say, what do we do well with the coaches? Let's do what we do well, and let's go balls out the last eight games and see where we stand. But we're going to be physical, and we're not going to get ourselves beat. Somebody else may beat us and knock us out, but Kansas City may beat us. I got news for you. When they walk into that locker room, they're sure as hell going to respect the Cleveland Browns, like the old Browns that I used to play against, Clay Matthews, those groups. Bernie Kosar, those groups that when you walked off the field, win or lose, you'd been in one, brother. And that's exactly the attitude.
Right.
I know Greg's old school like that. That's the attitude they have to approach. Do what you do and do it well, and then we'll deal with new scheme and stuff in the offseason. I ain't worried about January right now. I'm worried about the next 8 weeks.
Sean, you talk about, the Chiefs just run a few things. Well, they run them to perfection, as you say.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes – and time will tell, right? It's only been 9 games if you include the 1 game last year. But he's got the best arm in the NFL. He's playing better than anybody right now. And obviously he's got an immense talent around him between Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Kareem Hunt and Sammy Watkins. When you watch him, are you, and I know he's a Texas guy, is it hard to believe now that he wasn't the first pick in the draft, or is that getting carried away?
The only reason Patrick Mahomes wasn't the first pick of the draft is because where he played. System. And they misled, and they misread it. They labeled him a system quarterback, and I label him an all-system quarterback. That's what they got caught up in looking at history. It's like when Darnold came out this year, you want to know how many comments I got, and some from Browns fans, some from, oh, have you seen the success of USC quarterbacks in the past from, Leinert? And they started going down the list, Barkley, and started naming them. As if Sam Darnold is that guy. Same thing with the Big 12. We haven't had a quarterback from the Big 12 be that big a success. Those offenses don't produce quarterbacks. We got caught up in putting an umbrella over every – we didn't treat him as an individual.
That's right.
And if you watch Patrick Mahomes doing all that stuff, yeah, and we can look – same thing with Watson here. We look back to why wasn't he the first pick? Why was he the 10th or 11th pick? Mm-hmm. Same thing. And with that – and I don't want to minimize – don't misunderstand what Andy Reid and Kansas City are doing. They do it. They do it well. They got guts. But let me tell you what Mayfield and Mahomes are doing. Is they're making NFL coaches change the way they approach offense. Instead of saying we're going – Andy's a West Coast guy. Always has a lot of verbiage, West Coast guy. But what he's done, because he's smart, you don't make 8-14 coaches adjust – you don't make 53 players adjust to 12 or 14 or 15 coaches. You flip it. You make the coaches adjust to what the players do well. That's a good coach. So Andy
That's
says,
smart,
well, the West Coast guy, Mahomes is here. Let's do some of the what he did mixed in with what I do, and let's maximize it. Like they ran the yacht, like we were talking about, minimize like 15, 16 plays. Last week, what do? They run they ran the quick option where the quarterback comes down the line and pitches. They ran that earlier in the game. So what do they do on a fourth down? They come back and start the option and then run an inside shovel pass. Same formation, same play, just a different variation. So what Mahomes is doing, guys, what's the weakness? That he's young? Sure doesn't look like it, 26 touchdowns. but he's got guts. And more than all the physical stuff, because that's a lazy narrative by us if we just say great arm. And we all do. And that's what came out. We've got a great arm. His feet, his movement in the pocket, but his football IQ, his command at the line of scrimmage under a very – which is a pretty damn widespread offense and one that can be complicated if you let it, is – his control at the line of scrimmage, getting in and out of plays, is nothing short of phenomenal 9-10 games into his career. But this is the future, not only Mahomes, it's the present and the future. Mahomes, Mayfield, what these young quarterbacks are doing, they're bringing Collins. So I don't want to hear anybody anymore say, well, why can Lincoln Riley or Mike Lee think that offense doesn't work in the NFL? Yeah, really? It's the player, not the system. And a good quarterback can make any system good. You're seeing it with Baker, and you will with a new system, and you're seeing it with Mahomes. If you give him time, if you don't pressure him this week, he's going to. That offense is just too good. And if you do pressure him, you better not miss on a blitz, because out of the pocket, there's nobody better in the league right now.
Sean, you know, we talk a lot about how Baker Mayfield is a special type of talent, but also a special type of leader. How much do you think this week he feels empowered to sort of really put everything on his shoulders and be that type of leader? Kind of admits like a little bit of adversity is my point.
Oh, I think this is – somebody asked me, well, what's this doing? You guys see him on Twitter and on these on the hot take shows. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Look what they're doing to Baker Mayfield. They took his coordinator and head coach away in midseason. You know what I – I looked at it the other way. And what did I say on this show when we first started the year, guys, and when we started preseason at the beginning of the week, at the beginning of the year, I said, you can't be afraid to start a young quarterback and worry about his feelings because I want to know if he can handle adversity.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Did I not say that? If he throw a pick and he can come back from
it,
we knew this guy can do that. And I say this now. Okay. So, okay, he loses him. Another test for Baker. Let's overcome this. I'm going to show people by what we do now, we're going to elevate our play. We're not going to go into the tank. And I believe he's at the forefront and the center of it, which is great leadership saying, I'm not going to pout and I'm not going to worry about it. We lost him. Okay. Still got to move on. The guys that are in the building. Coaches always say what? I'm coaching the guys that are here. So shouldn't the players say the opposite? I'm playing for the guys that are here. The coach is gone now. I like him. I've got to move on. So the challenge that he's going to face, you're damn right. He'll grab him by the hand or grab him by the throat or grab him by the nape of the neck and say, let's go. That's what a great leader does. And you keep going and you keep doing it and you find the things that work. The last thing I'm worried about is Baker Mayfield's progress because a very smart coach in Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson left. I'm not worried about that. He was a good guy, energetic, but this wasn't the right fit. It didn't work. But I'm not worried about Baker Mayfield's feelings. He's going to overcome it just fine, thank you. And don't think for a second that all the stuff that he doesn't file things away. The great ones do. Whatever they, and he's going to be a great player. File it away. Texas Tech, former quarterback, coming here. All the talk in this league is about Patrick Mahomes. I'm sure he's happy for it. You don't think for one second Mayfield wants to walk off that field against the Kansas City defense that you can score on saying, slow your roll on Mahomes. There's another dude in this town that's pretty good too. Of course he does. I expect him to embrace what's going on.
Sean, last thing. Trade deadline. We saw three big wide receivers traded: Tate, Amari Cooper, and Demaryius Thomas to your Texans. There also, Clinton Dix. We had a defensive lineman get traded. Who do you think had the best day in that last week in terms of the trade deadline?
Well, you got to think the reigning Super Bowl champions got a good one, right? In Golden Tate, with the situation that they get a guy. Remember 2 years ago when Wentz was a rookie, their receiving core was horrible. They went out, Aguilar got better in the offseason. They went out and got Alshon Jeffrey, and they did some things that, well, and then he had an MVP year until he got hurt, and they won a Super Bowl and had the Super Bowl MVP as a backup. So they elevated that. They've been struggling running the ball and getting an extra oomph out of their wide receiver core. You get a guy who the last couple of years has been one of the best run-after-the-catch players in the league in Golden Tate. I think that's a big get for them in a division that's wide open. The other one is, and Thomas, they need him here. Now, I don't think Demaryius Thomas is going to be, you know, an 80-catch guy the second or 70-catch guy the second half of the season, but he'll have something to prove, too, because he's a big red zone body, and his body type's a little different than what they've had. I think it's an upgrade for a fourth-round pick. Cooper for a one. Thomas, who's been productive in his past, dropping too many balls this year, but so was Cooper in his career. You get Thomas, and you get a chance to do that with a quarterback that he hadn't had since Peyton Manning. Yeah, I think that's a get. But one that's sneaky, guys, how about the Rams? They're undefeated. They're headed to New Orleans. And so what do? Let me go grab myself and pluck another pass rusher. How's that for the rich getting richer, going to get Fowler?
Yeah, exactly.
You talk about the elevation. That's the sign of a good team. Oh, yeah, we're undefeated. but we're undefeated, but we're still not where we want to be. So let's go trade a fourth round or third round pick for Fowler, whatever it was, and a seventh, and let's go bring a pass rusher in with this defensive front, because we're not stopping here. We're undefeated, but that's not where it ends. Then if they can dig picks, I think there was a lot of good moves, but I think that the Fowler one and Golden Tate can help. But the Texans in their division are hoping Thomas can at least be more than serviceable for a fourth round pick, and I thought it was the right thing to do here in Houston.
Sean, great insight as usual. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, keep it up. Thanks for changing days for me this week. I sure appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week.
You got
no worries. Thanks,
anytime.
Sean. Thanks so much.
On anytime.
Thanks.
Former NFL quarterback Sean Salisbury. Good to chat with him. Your chance to win a grand 12 times each weekday is back during the Pigskin Payout, a nationwide contest on the Fan. Brought to you by WeFixMoney.com. Need emergency cash? Check out WeFixMoney.com for more. Listen weekdays for the Pigskin Payout code word, 7 a.m., 7 p.m., 5 minutes after each hour. Text it to the short code 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Try to win $1,000 12 times each weekday right here on the Fan. Jeff Schwartz of the Action Network is going to join us at 3. And Robert Klemko of MMQB is in town for the game.
And all the changes in Berea to cover the team and see what's
Robert's
going on.
Coming to the bar.
Yeah.
So he's going to join us right after Jeff at 3:20. In fact, I referenced his tweet the other day about Baker Mayfield and about how important this week was.
Well, remember, he did the 7-part series on Baker prior to the draft.
Robert does really good work. Yeah. I like this stuff on Baker, no doubt. And Pete Futek later as well. So we're locked and loaded. Chris Fedor on the Cavs. We'll talk J.R. Smith in the 5 o'clock hour. That's all coming up live from Rivals in Middleburg Heights and right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.